the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen."
The day of Pentecost, I don't know what you make of it. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, it's really strange, it's weird, odd, scary, you know, a violent wind, not knowing where it's coming from. You know, it's not like the windows are open and, you know, just close the windows, we'll be okay. I mean, that's scary stuff, isn't it? I mean, they were scared anyway. They're there and the doors are locked and then there's a violent wind. And then fire, or at least what looked like fire. Wow, that's scary. And then now there's business about speaking in all these languages. Isn't it just weird? Or is it me? I think, wow, really? And this is the Holy Spirit coming. And sometimes we can think about the Holy Spirit and think, you know, the Holy Spirit's quite weird or scary even. In old translations of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost, which is a poor translation, but that just doesn't help, does it? the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit someone or something that we should be afraid of? Is it something or someone who's just weird? Of course not. The Holy Spirit is actually God Himself. Sometimes we might talk about, God is at work in the world, or God is at work in our church. And what we mean by that is, God is at work by His Spirit in the world, or in the church, or in someone's life. And the Holy Spirit is God Himself. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There we go. So the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Like, that's quite a thought in itself, isn't it, really? And do you remember when Jesus was baptized? We see the Father and the Son and the Spirit all coming together. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? Jesus, God, and He hears a voice from heaven saying, "This is My Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." Listen to Him. And then there's a dove comes and lands on Jesus. The dove being symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So we have Jesus, the Son, God, we have Father speaking, God, we have the Holy Spirit coming, who is God. So when we think about Pentecost and the kind of weird stuff that was going on, the strange things that were happening, we need to remember, and this was God coming. And we don't have to be afraid when God comes. So Jesus knew that He was going to go to the cross. He knew He would lay His life down and pay the penalty for our sin and then return to His Father in heaven. But for the disciples, this was a very anxious time, wasn't it? I mean, Jesus had told them on a number of occasions that He was going to go away. He was going to leave them. But He said a few pretty cool things as well, particularly about the Holy Spirit. And here's one of them. He says, "Anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, who is God, and here Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will come and make His home with us. I think it's a lovely picture. So the Holy Spirit is not someone who's, far removed from us, or up in the sky, or up in the heavens somewhere. The Holy Spirit could not be closer. He comes and makes His home in us. And He comes to make His home in us because He wants to change us. He wants to make us more like Jesus, doesn't He? He wants to transform us, to change us on the inside so we become more like Jesus. Could we have the next slide? So this is a comparison, isn't it, of a room that is, a bit messy, and then it's been tidied up. Now, I'm sure you're not much different from me. Now, when somebody comes to your house, and we know they're coming, we make a bit of an effort, don't we? We might even get the duster out, or the Hoover, and pick things off the floor, we make a bit of an effort because we'd feel a bit embarrassed if somebody walked into our house and there were things all over the floor and dirty cups and plates and, you know, hadn't been washed for days or whatever, you know. We'd feel a bit embarrassed. And one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives is to clean us up, to change us on the inside, so that we become more like Jesus himself. If we can have the next slide. I'm sure many of us know this verse, Galatians. And this talks about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. Shall we read it together? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, as we look at those verses, I want you to think about it. What would you most want, or what do you most need the Holy Spirit to produce in your life? I just heard someone say patience. Yeah, it might be. We need more patience in our life.
Self-control.
Okay. So just take a moment. Just think about those workings of God's Spirit, what he wants to do in our lives. And if there's one, there might be more than one, it just resonates with you and you think, yeah, you know, I need to be more gentle or faithful or have better self-control. Just take a moment in the quietness and just pray that for yourself. Just take that to God in prayer and just ask God to produce more of that fruit in your life. So let's do that together. Let's just take a moment and ask God's Spirit to produce his good fruit. Okay, so we've learned, haven't we, that the Holy Spirit is actually God, and he's been given to his disciples. And he's been given and he's come and he makes his home in us, in our hearts. And one of the main reasons for that is that we might be changed, that we might respond to the promptings of God's Spirit and allow him to change us day by day. And, you know, over time we become more and more like Jesus as we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There's another, I think, pretty cool thing that Jesus said to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. So here we are, John 16, verse 7. He says, "Let me assure you, it is better for you that I go away." They might have questioned that, I think. "I say this because when I go away, I will send a helper to you. But if I do not go, the helper would not come." So he's referring, of course, to the Holy Spirit as the helper. What is going to help us? Now, I've got a theory. So I'm going to test out on you. When you need help for something, could be, how do I fix a blocked drain? It could be anything. Where do you go for help? See if my theory is right or not. The internet, okay? We go to the internet, look out if something you're not sure about how to do it. Go to your mum and dad. Good. Plumber. You go. You phone a plumber. It doesn't just have to be a blocked drain, by the way. But any, you've got a problem. You're not sure how to fix it or how to get around solving it. Where do you go for help?
Ask a friend.
Ask Jesus, yep.
Eric,
who's that?
Eric,
go to your husband. That's always a wise thing to do. Oh, sorry, Tanya. Where would you go for help?
A sister or brother.
Oh. Yep, you can go to perhaps an older sister or brother. Okay, it looks like my theory is not really working. My theory was we would go to YouTube. Somebody said the internet, of course, yeah, so that we would go to YouTube. So you just Google how to, or how do you, dot, 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 and there are countless little videos, aren't there, about how, people build houses or do all sorts of things just by following YouTube videos. As some of you know, and I'm a bit embarrassed to give this illustration, but some of you know I'm trying to learn the unicycle, failing miserably. But I've learned a few things by going on to YouTube. So you put all your weight on the saddle. Sounds obvious maybe, but that's what you do. You lean slightly forward. The quicker you go, the better it is of staying balanced. Your back should be straight, although leaning forward. You don't look down, you look straight ahead. Now I've tried all of that. But we learn a lot. We get help from others, don't we? Now I've watched some YouTube clips of people who have just got a unicycle out the box, and they're learning, you know, as a beginner. I guess you would, you know what I mean. And you see their struggles, and you see them falling off, and you know all the rest of it. And yet there are other people who are experts, who do all the tricks and everything. And they show you as well what it was like, how you learn as a beginner. Now we all need help. We all need help. And Jesus says, I am going to give you the helper. Now, why would those disciples need help? What kind of help do you think they would need? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, some of you will know this verse, thank you, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And you'll tell other people about me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. So that was Jesus saying, you can't do that by yourself. You need the helper. You need the power of God's Spirit. Because let's be honest, it's not easy to tell other people about Jesus. Let's have a show of hands. Who finds it quite easy to tell others about Jesus? Anyone? It's quite difficult to do. And yet Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You will tell other people about my life and my death and my resurrection and what, you know, why I came and the difference I make. You'll tell other people all about them, but you can't do it by yourself. I'm going to give you the helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, those disciples, they were just like us. Do you remember Peter, who denied Jesus three times? Jesus, I don't know who you're talking about. I've never heard of the guy. You know, nothing to do with me. And he said that twice to a servant girl. Now, apologies, but a servant girl was a nobody. And here's big, boisterous Peter, you know. I don't know Jesus. Three times. But then we had this coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, the wind and the fire and strange languages. And before you knew it, who was up talking to the crowd? It was Peter, wasn't it? Because Peter had now been filled with God's Spirit. He was overflowing with God's Spirit. He had a power that wasn't his. God was at work helping him. And God wants to do the same for us as well. He wants to help us. Not do everything for us. He works with us, doesn't he? And he uses us as long as we are open to the Holy Spirit. Told you, it's very easy to pick up. Okay, we're just about finished with our balloon. We want to pray for the people who are would love to see coming to know Jesus and being filled with his Spirit. But do you know what? Sometimes God wants us to be the one who is the answer to our prayers as well, doesn't he? Okay, let's pray. Let's bring these people to God in prayer. Father, we've just read out a whole list of names. Thank you that with you they're more than names. They are people made in your image. They are people that Jesus gave his life on the cross for. They are people, Lord, that you love dearly. And we thank you for each one, Father. And Lord, we've just sung that you send us out. You go with us. You go before us. You live within us. Father God, on this Pentecost Sunday, would you put fire within us? The fire of love, the fire of the gospel, that we might be prepared to be your witnesses. Lord, you give us your Spirit to help us. And Lord, would you help us to be open to your Spirit changing us as well? Lord, would you grow within us these lovely fruits of the Spirit that we might become more and more, day by day, like Jesus. Lord, forgive us when we are not open to your Spirit. And Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we give ourselves again to you and to all that you want to accomplish. Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. And send us out, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. Lord, we offer you our praise, we offer you our worship, our thanks, and we present ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.